Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is debugging WebSphere application server start-stop issues in version 6.0 and version 6.10. Today's presenter is Vikram Tumendru. Vikram has been working with L2 support for about 5 years, where his team specialized in WebSphere system management and security components. He handled issues with several components such as admin console, system management, WS admin scripting tool, server start-stop issues, and security-related items. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Vikram.
Good morning, everyone. This is Vikram Tumendru. I work in WebSphere Level 2 support, where my team is specialized in the system management component of the WebSphere application server as well as the security components. I've been in the support for about over 5 years. So I've been working on the various issues in the WebSphere application server product, starting from, I would say, like the WebSphere 4.0x until this new version, WebSphere 7.0. In today's presentation, I'm going to go over for WebSphere 6.0 and WebSphere 6.1 versions. I will not be covering anything from the WebSphere 7.0, as this is the kind of very new came into the market. In today's agenda, I'm going to talk about the different ways of starting and stopping application server in a standalone installation, and also we're going to talk about different ways of starting and stopping application server in a network deployment environment where you have like the base server federated into the deployment manager. And also we're going to talk about the application server monitoring policy settings. And also at the end, we're going to talk about the issues that we see most of the time with, you know, while starting the server or stopping the server, and its troubleshooting techniques and the debugging tips. Moving on to slide number 4. In the first few slides, I put, you know, the basic commands, you know, the various ways, you know, various options that we have in the WebSphere application server product, how you can start application server. So, for example, looking at the standalone node installation, you can start the WebSphere application server in multiple ways. For example, you can start the application server from the command prompt using the start server script. And also, if you have the WebSphere installed on the Windows operating system, you can start the server from the start menu programs. The WebSphere, when you install the WebSphere product, you're going to see the IBM WebSphere tab under the programs list. So from that location, we can start the application server. And also, if the WebSphere is restarted with the Windows services, we can also start the server from the Windows services tab. Slide number 5. You can start the server using start server script, either from the profile install root bin directory or the base install root bin directory. If you are starting the server from the base install root directory, we have to specify the profile name. And there is another way to start the server using the dash script parameter. Usually, it is not required unless you really want to create a separate dedicated script for each and every application server. So you can specify, you can run the script start server, and you can specify the server name. And at the end, when you specify dash script, it will create a script file into the current location. The by default, the name would be start_server1 if the server name is server1. And also you can specify whatever the name you want after specifying this dash script. So using this script, you can start the server. Basically, it will initialize the application server directly before by passing the start server launcher. So you can also stop the server from the command line using the stop server script, or you can stop the server from the Windows services or from the start menu programs in the Windows operating system. By default, whenever you start the server or stop the server in any installation of WebSphere standalone or network deployment environment, by default, the log information goes into the profile home logs directory, where you're going to see the server name folder, under which you're going to see all the log files that belongs to this server. But it doesn't matter whether you are starting the server or stop server, you will not get the control back until the server completely initialized or until the server completely shuts down. But you can specify, there is a flag called no wait. If you specify that no wait, so you will get that control back immediately, irrespective of whether the server is completely initialized or stopped. If you have the security enabled, as you know, like we have to specify username and password when stopping the server. Whereas when starting the server, it is not required to specify username and password. Slide number 7. In a network deployment environment, we're going to see how we can start the server or stop the server. So it is very similar to the base, the installation server, standalone application server. You can use the start server script to start the application server. But in a network environment, you have to make sure the node agent is up and running before starting the application server, because there is a location service domain that will be running only on the node agent. So when we start the application server, we have to make sure this node agent is up and running, because when you start the server, it's going to register with the LSD service, which is running on the node agent process. We can also stop or start the server from the deployment manager console, or even you can use the WSAdmin scripting tool to start the server. But yeah, you will need to familiar with the WSAdmin commands in order to start or stop the application server in a network deployment environment. Slide number 9. Similar to base installation, you can use the stop server script to stop the application server, and also you can stop the application server from the administrative console or using WSAdmin command line scripting tool in a network deployment environment. Slide number 10. You can also stop or start from the DManager console in a network deployment environment. Whereas when it comes to the node agent process and the DManager, there is a script available called StartManager to start the deployment manager, which will be located under the DManager profile bin directory. You can also use start server script even to start the DManager. You will have to specify the server name as DMZR. So you can use the start server space DMZR, that's going to start the deployment manager. It is the same case with the node agent process also. You can use the start server to start the node agent process, or by specifying start server node agent. Or you can use start node script to start the node agent process directly. So there are scripts available for stopping node agent process and the deployment manager using the stop node, stop manager. From the console, you can start from the deployment manager console. You cannot start the node agent process, or you cannot stop the node agent process from the DManager console. It's a limitation working as designed, but you can restart the node agent process. For example, if the node agent process is up and running, you can go into the DManager console, you can select that node agent, and you can click on restart. It's going to stop and restart the node agent process. And also you can register the node agent process and the DManager process with the Windows Services tab so that you can start and stop them from the Windows Services. Slide number 11. Here I'm going to talk about monitoring policy settings that we have in the WebSphere application server. By default, in a base installation, when you create a new profile, it comes with only one standalone server, which is server 1. So you don't have any kind of WebSphere service which can monitor this server 1 process if something goes wrong with that application server. But you can configure your operating system to monitor that particular application server. Like for example, if it's on the Windows operating system, you can register that application server with the Windows Services tab. You can set start type with automatic or even manual. So when you set the automatic, when you reboot the machine, it's gonna start this application server automatically. If you set to manual, yeah, the user will have to start that application server. When it comes to the network deployment environment, since we are federating the app server node into the deployment manager, we have the node agent process to monitor application server process, which means if you happen to have like multiple application server on the same node, you can configure those application server in such a way the node agent monitors those app servers all the time, which means if something goes wrong with those application server during the runtime, node agent will stop and restart based on the settings that we specify under the monitoring policy settings. Whereas when it comes to the node agent and the deployment manager, we don't have any kind of the WebSphere service which can monitor these two processes. But you can configure operating system to monitor this node agent and the deployment manager. So you can restart node agent process with the Windows services, or you can, and also you can restart deployment manager process with the Windows services, or you can specify these two processes in case of Unix. You can specify, you can create a script. It's called rc.was. You can specify that entry into the voice level init tab, which can be located under the etc folder of the Unix operating system. So when the Unix machine is rebooted, it's going to start all the servers, whatever we specify under the etc init tab. Yeah, we'll talk more about this monitoring policy in next few slides. Slide number 13. As I said, you can configure, you can add, or you can register the WebSphere application server process with the Windows services. By default, when you create a profile, you will get the option whether you want to register that the server with the Windows services. If you select yes, it's going to register that server with the Windows services. And also, you can add the application server with the Windows services even after creation of the profiles. The same thing applies for Node Agent and the Deployment Manager processes also. But when you register, or when you specify this WebSphere application server with the Windows Services tab on the Windows machine, the user must be belongs to the administrator group, and also it should be like it should have the rights for act as part of the operating system or log on as a service. And also you can configure the settings like automatic or manual, and also you can specify recovery actions. Under the recovery actions, if you say, like, you know, let's say my, even if for some reason if server is going down, if you say restart, that's going to restart the server automatically. So which means we are configuring operating system to monitor WebSphere processes. So if something goes wrong with those WebSphere processes, the operating system will be monitoring them and it will restart them. You can find out this wasservice.exe file under the install root bin directory. So when you type in wasservice.exe space dash help, you will get more information about the commands, how to add WebSphere application server with the Windows services, or if you want to remove. So there is a command available, dash remove, and also there are a few other commands available how you can register or unregister this WebSphere application server processes. Yeah, slide number 14. Yeah, like I said in the previous slide, yeah, you can use this wasservice.exe scripting tool either to remove or even to start and stop the application server process. And also you can check the status with ---status attribute. There is a lot of information available in the WebSphere V6 and V6.1 Info Center about this, the Windows services, like about this wasservice.exe, how you can manage the WebSphere servers from the Windows services. I'm going to talk more about in case of Unix operating system in next few slides. In this slide, we are going to talk about in case of Unix, how you can monitor, how you can configure your operating system to monitor these WebSphere application server processes. By default, like, you know, we are providing the sample script. It is called rc.was under the install root bin directory. Basically, to configure this WebSphere application server process with a Unix operating system level to monitor them, we will have to create a script file using the dash script parameter. So when you say start server, server 1, dash script, you can specify the name, or the WebSphere is going to generate a script file name with the start underscore server 1 dot sh into the current location. So, and then you will have to edit rc.was file, which means, I mean, we have the sample available in the bin directory. We will have to create a new rc.was file for that application server process. So when you edit rc.was, now you will see some sample, the sample, how does it look like, and you can modify that rc.was file according to your application server script name and based on the the number of application servers that you have. In the next slide, slide number 16, so this is the example of rc.wasp file. This is how it looks like. You will see the entry launch script equals the script name. Here you can specify *_server1.sh, and this is example. So you can create your own rc.wasp file into the bin directory. If you have multiple application server, you will have to create multiple rc.wasp files. And then you can specify this rc.wasp file location into your operating system init tab under the etc folder. I think whatever the services you specify into this Unix level init tab, when the machine is rebooted, it's gonna initialize, it's gonna start all the services that are defined into this init tab. So if you have multiple application server, if you wanna have them automatically started when the machine is rebooted, and also if something goes wrong on the application server, yeah, you need to create multiple rc.wasp files, and we need to specify them into the Unix level etc init tab, the file, so that, you know, always your operating system will be monitoring those application servers. And if something goes wrong, if it shuts down for some reason or if it crashes, that will get restarted automatically. You can also do the same thing for Node Agent Process and the Deployment Manager. As we know, as I said in the previous slides, we don't have any kind of service within the WebSphere Application Server product which can monitor these two processes, Node Agent and the Deployment Manager. We have the monitoring the capability only for the application server that will be done by the Node Agent. Whereas when it comes to the Node Agent and D Manager, we don't have any service. So, but we can configure operating system to monitor those processes. Slide number 17. Here we're going to talk about some troubleshooting and debugging tips, especially most of the time, most of the customers, most of the users, you know, on a regular basis, we stop or we restart the server for the maintenance sake, or if it's a development environment, or if it's a testing, or if it's a production. So we normally, most of the time, we see the problems while starting the server, either from the command line scripting tool, or from the D Manager console, or maybe from the Windows services. So most of the time, we see the problems with starting the server or stopping the server. I'm going to talk about a few examples, you know, most of the time we see while starting the server and stopping the server in both base installation as well as network deployment environment. So before getting into that, more details of troubleshooting and debugging, I just want to talk about, you know, basically how this server startup process takes place. Especially when you start the server from the command prompt, using the start server or start node or start manager. Basically, we create a separate JVM for that start server launcher. It's a separate JVM from the application server. So we create a separate JVM for the start server script itself. And then this start server launcher is gonna read configuration information. If you specify application server name server 1 or the node agent or the deployment manager, it's going to read configuration information for that, the JVM process. By default, you will see all the configuration information in the server.xml file. So it's going to read that information, especially the custom properties, if you have specified any JVM custom properties, any other, all information in the server.xml file. It's going to read that information. It will construct a Java executable, and then it will span a new application server Java process for that application server. So which means when we start the server, it reads through the configuration information for that particular application server, and then it launches that application server. So here the start server launcher, it's a kind of just client. It is invoking the server, which is application server. So as soon as it invokes application server, it just waits for the response back from the application server. So in the next slide, slide number 19, you will see the output at the command prompt like this. You're going to see, like, you know, starting the tool, the profile name, reading the configuration for server 1, in the next line, it's going to say, yeah, server launched, waiting for initialization status, which means here, the start server launcher is initializing, is invoking the application server JVM. So all this information, whatever you do like with the start server, all that information gets written into the start server.log file. And then once it launches the application server JVM, then you will see logging information in the systemout.log file. And also if there are any errors, you will see some errors are logging into the system error.log file. So only after this line of entry, server launched, then the WebSphere will start writing logging information into the systemout.log file. Then you will see the WebSphere, the application server will try to initialize each and every component on that particular application server. If there are any problems, it will throw the messages into the systemout.log file. What really happens is, basically, when you start the server, like using the start server launcher, a relatively small amount of WebSphere code is placed onto the JVM class path. When you try with the start server name with the dash phrase option, it's going to write more logging into the start server.log file. If you go through that, you will see all the activity, or like stating like it's reading the server.xml file, and also how it is constructing Java executable, and what kind of parameters it is setting into the Java executable command. It's, as I said, it's basically the relatively small amount of WebSphere code is placed under the JVM class path. This includes the Bootstrap code. The Bootstrap code establishes a class loading environment for the rest of the install images. In V6 and earlier, this meant constructing a class loader that picked up everything in the live directory and also on some other locations if you have specified any class path on the JVM level. In V6, 1 and beyond, this means establishing a proper OSGI environment that is bundled with the product. Then this Bootstrap code branches into the server's main function. This main function is going to read the server.xml file and then begins starting the various components of the application server. Like you will see, it's going to initialize Bootstrap component, it's going to initialize security, it's going to initialize IO or whatever the components that are running, like web container, EJP container, all the components. And also, if you have any applications deployed, so the WebSphere start server, during the start server, the server is going to start each and every application that is deployed into the application server JVM. You will see a lot of problems while starting the server, either from the command line scripting tool or from the DManager console. So we're going to talk about a few examples, what kind of problems we see most of the time, especially when starting and stopping the application servers. The first example I would take is, let's say you are trying to start the server from the script, using the start server script. So we are not sure what is happening, but you will see only the start server.log file created with the error message saying that server launched, failed initialization. But when looking into the system out, we don't see any kind of information. Even sometimes you don't see system out.log file created. So it means that basically while starting the start server launcher itself, something is going wrong, something is happening, something is problem while starting the server. I'm in the slide 21. So basically in this case, in a scenario where you will see you are trying to start the server and there are no log files are getting created, such as systemout system error.log files, you will only see start server.log file. In this case, we can try to isolate the problem. Maybe sometimes the problem could be with the start server launcher itself. Basically, when you start the server, it's going to read the content of start server.sh or bash file, as well as it's going to call setup command line dot sh or bash file. If for some reason, if there are some invalid entries in the setup command line dot sh file, it might fail, the start server launcher fail, the launcher itself may fail in order to construct Java executable. Maybe for example, if something is wrong with the Java path itself, or maybe some of the jars or files are corrupted under the Java, So even to start the start server launcher, as I said, it's a separate JVM that requires Java. So if there is a problem with the Java itself, yeah, it's going to fail. We will see only the failures only in the start server.log file, because it's failing right in the beginning and it's not getting up to the point where it can initialize application server JVM. Hence, it's not creating, it's not generating any system or that log file. So you can try with the minus script parameter. So it will create a new server script, start underscore server. So basically when you execute this start underscore server 1.sh or batch, it is going to bypass the start server launcher. It just initializes application server JVM directly. So it's not going through your start server launcher. Assuming if there was a problem with the start server .sh file itself, in this case, you will see when executing this start underscore server 1 script, you will see this application server is coming up fine. So which may, at least that will tell us that, all right, there was a problem with the start server launcher, not the problem with the application server JVM. Then we can go in and look into that setup command line, or we can go into the start server.sh file or batch file to see if there are any invalid entries. Sometimes, you know, if you try to edit those files for some reason, there might be some typos or there might be some extra spaces. So we need to be careful, you know, especially when editing any kind of the scripts that comes with the product. In this kind of scenario where you see it's not writing anything into the system mode, so this is something we need to check. This is something we need to test with a dash script parameter. And also, if you happen to be specified some new JVM custom property, let's say you have your application server is up and running fine, and due to the requirement of your application, you are trying to specify some JVM custom property or some generic JVM argument. If there is a typo, or if it's an invalid JVM argument, after specifying that argument, you can save that operation. If it's a network deployment, you can save that. You can make the change from the team manager console, and then you can save. Or in a base installation also, you can make the, you can do the same thing from the server one console, stop the server, and when you restart the server, you're going to see the same problem. So it's just failing while, you know, while you're doing the start server launcher itself, and it's not creating any system or that log file. So this is another thing we really need to check. If there is any new custom property or generic JVM argument has been specified on the server level, the JVM class path, like, you know, for a custom property or generic JVM argument, if there is something specified, I would definitely recommend, like, you know, try to remove that and see whether you are able to start the server. If you are able to start the server, the problem could be with the generic JVM argument or custom properties. Maybe it's an invalid one, or maybe the WebSphere JDK is not honoring that custom JVM custom property. I mean, if it's a valid custom property, yeah, we need to, I mean, the IBM support will investigate that problem, why the WebSphere JDK is not honoring that custom property. Most of the time we see problems like, you know, there might be some typos whenever you specify some custom properties, and then once we save that file and restart the server, yes, we do see the problem, server will not initialize. Most of the time, in these kind of situations, you will see at least some kind of information, some kind of logging under the native underscore standard error and native underscore standard out log files. These log files are specific to JVM. So you will see if there is a problem only with the Java level, you will see the entries into these two files. And the system out and system error files, those are specific to application server. And the start server log file is for the start server launcher. And when you enable trace, let's say like sometimes, when you start the server using the start server script or even using the start underscore server one script, you will see like, you know, yeah, it's writing information into the system out, the server is not coming up, it's writing a lot of error messages into the log files. We can debug those problems, you know, by looking into the system out, if it's a straightforward, if it's a meaningful error message, or sometimes we do require to enable some additional tracing on the system or on the application server JVM. So whatever you specify, the dash trace at the start server script, that is for only start server launcher, not for application server JVM. So we will have to specify tracing on the application server JVM. If it's a base installation, since the server is not coming up, so there is no way you can specify the tracing from the console. So the other option would be, there is a configuration file for that application server, server.xml file. So you can manually edit that server.xml file and you can specify the trace string. But before making any changes here, we really need to take a backup. We need to make sure we are taking backup. Whereas in case of network deployment environment, you can make the changes from the deployment manager console, and once you save and synchronize, so those changes are propagating into the server level configuration. Slide number 22. And also sometimes you might be seeing the problems, like, you know, when you try with the start server dash trace option, you will see a lot of SOAP errors in the start server log file. Even in this case, you are not going to see anything into the system mode, because let's say you are trying to start the server, and when you start the server, it's going to read, by default the connector type is SOAP connector, unless you modify that from the SOAP connector to the RMA connector. So we read this SOAP connector information from the SOAP client properties file. If there is a problem with the SOAP client properties file, yeah, you will run into the problem. It may not be able to, you know, launch the application server JVM. And also the same thing with while stopping the server, you have the server up and running. You are trying to stop the server using stop server script, and you will see a message saying that, the start server launcher is unable to make a SOAP connection to the application server JVM. Could be problem with the SOAP connector port. Maybe it's not listening state, even the server was up and running at the time of when you looked into that. For some reason, maybe the port is not active, or if you have the security enabled, maybe we are not passing right username and password. Or in case of, sometimes you do see the problems in a secured environment, like for example, V61, if you take WebSphere 6.1, we have the SSL certificate management. By default, WebSphere will renew the certificates for every 1 year after you turn on the security. We renew the certificates only into the configuration folder, whereas looking into the SSL client properties file for the clients, basically all these scripts, start server, stop server, they're going to take the key files and cluster files, whatever we specify into the properties. So, like, when WebSphere is trying to renew the certificates, it is just renewing the certificates only into the configuration folder, not under the HC folder. By default, these properties file will be pointing to the key.ptl and trust.ptl files into the HC folder of WebSphere. When the WebSphere try to renew the certificates, you might see the problems. You might get a prompt when stopping the server, or there is no personal certificate in your client trust or file. Do you want to add? You will get a prompt with a yes or no option. If you say yes, it's going to import that certificate into your trust or file, which is using by your stop server script. If you say no by mistake, it's going to fail. So you will have to manually import that certificate into the trust.ptl file, which is located under the etc/etc folder. In case of WebSphere 6.0, even sometimes you might see problems with the SSL handshake failures when stopping the server. You might be using your own self-signed certificates or third-party certificates. So basically, if the certificate is expired, or if you, by default, you will see, like, you know, in the WebSphere 6.0, the server uses server dummy server trust and dummy server key files. Whereas when it comes to the clients like stop server, start server, any kind of scripting client, maybe your J2E client, Java client, they're going to read the information from the properties file. So when looking at the properties file, they use client key store and client trust store files. So we need to make sure, if you see a problem while stopping the server in WebSphere 6.0 with the SSL handshake failure, so we need to make sure we have that personal certificate, whatever the application server JVM is sending, is available in your client trust store file. Yeah, by default, you may not see all the information what the certificate the server is sending in the start server.log file, but you do see the error message, handshake failure messages with a SOAP connector, the failures. In that case, you can turn on some kind of, not the trace, there is a custom property available, JVM custom property, Java custom property. So the property name is javax.net.debug. If you specify that, -d javax.net.debug equals true in your start server launcher, it's going to write all the SSL activity between the start server, stop server launcher, and the WebSphere application server JVM. So you will see clearly, you know, what kind of certificate the application server JVM is sending and where it is failing. So then you will know, like, you know, the certificate name, and then you can get that certificate from the server, dummy server, the key file dot, the dummy server key file dot JKS, and then you can import that certificate into the client trustor file. If you are using your self-signed or third-party trust or third-party certificates, then you can figure out that and you can import that into the dummy client trustor file. So even sometimes we do see these kind of problems, especially on 6.0, where you are using your own self-signed certificates or third-party certificates. If you are using the WebSphere dummy server certificates, you are not going to run into this problem. Sometimes you do see the problem with, you know, when starting the server or stopping the server, the launcher itself hangs for some reason. So basically, so when the launcher itself is hanging, there is no way it can initialize or it can launch application server JVM process. If you look at the operating system, like Java process ID, you will see a separate process ID for the stop server or start server launcher. So if it's a kind of hanging situation, you can collect some Java code for that start server launcher in order to investigate the problems. Whereas you have the option with the dash script parameter, so you can use that option to initialize to launch your application server process directly, so that you can investigate the problems with the start server, stop server launcher once your server is back up and running. And also sometimes you might see the problems with application server, especially in a base application server, even in network deployment environment, your application server process just goes down abruptly without leaving any kind of footprints. It's not a graceful shutdown. It just goes down by itself. And especially in a base installation, if you don't have your OS monitoring that application server, your server is down, so you know there is nobody monitoring that application server. The problem could be, like, you know, basically only the server goes down only in two cases. In case of base installation, if the server is crashing for some reason, or if the server is receiving some kind of JVM signal, it says, yeah, shut down. So only in those two cases, the server will start by itself. Sometimes you might see the user may not be stopping the application server, but you still see the problem server is going down by itself. So if you have any application running on that application server, if you have, like, in your application code anywhere, if you are calling system.exit method, it says JVM signal, it says JVM system.exit. Once, you know, whenever your code executes that method, your code might be sending a signal to the application server JVM saying that, okay, go down. So in that case, the server will stop by itself. So these kind of problems very, very difficult to debug because the WebSphere is not sending, and sometimes the application might be sending, or maybe it's receiving the signal maybe from somewhere else. Maybe if you have some client, the remote client which is connecting to the server, even your client can send the signal. So in WebSphere, like, we have introduced some new diagnosis. We have introduced new custom property. You can set that custom property. You will find this custom property in the info center. The property name would be, I did not put this custom property into the presentation. The custom property name would be com.ibm.ws.runtime.dumpshutdown equals true. If you specify this custom property, whenever the server goes down, the WebSphere will create a Java core file into the current location. So if you have the current Java core file generated, yeah, it's for us or even for you, it's very easy to figure out, you know, who is sending that signal, from where the JVM is receiving the shutdown signal. So, like, you can specify this custom property, and you can fix the problem if the server is going down by itself in this kind of situations. Slide number 23. like I said, like in the start server or even if the application server startup process is hands, so you, we need to collect some Java core files so that we can figure out what is going on. You can use, if you are on the Unix operating system, we can use kill minus -c that will generate Java core file. Or if you are on the Windows operating system, especially for 6.1.6.1, you will have to use wsadmin tool, scripting tool, to generate that thread dump. If it's a base installation, if the server itself is, you know, in the, during the server startup process itself, it is hanging, so even there is no way you can use the wsadmin scripting tool to generate thread dumps. So in that case, on Windows, you will have to use the Windows Dr. Watson, the utility, to produce user dump files so that we can see what is going on, why the app server process is hanging, or why the app server process is crashing. Slide number 24. In a network deployment environment, so whenever you start the server from the DManager console, the flow is like this. When you say start the server from the DManager console, the deployment manager is trying to get the admin client to the node agent process, which means it will connect to the node agent process first, and then it will send the query to the node agent process stating that, okay, user is trying to start this particular application server. Then node agent is the one starts that application server. So when you enable the trace on the node agent process, most of the time these kind of issues, like, you know, any kind of issues with the monitoring policy or server start or stop from the DManager console into the server, I would recommend, like, you know, that you can enable some tracing under you can enable runtime trace. The famous trace string would be, I would say, that should apply for any kind of problems for system management, is com.ibm.ws.management.*= all, if you specify that, you will see all the activity, what is going on. Here, for example, looking at this slide 24, in the node agent trace.log file, this was generated by specifying the management trace. You will see the clear entries in the node agent trace. Okay, here, basically here you will see, okay, the node agent is receiving a message from the DManager process. And then the node agent process is trying to start the server. You will see all these entries. The similar entries you will see even in the startserver.log file when you try to start the server from the scripting tool, like start server or stop server, the very similar entries. But in case of starting the server and stopping the server from DManager console, it's not going to read properties from the SOAP client or SAS client properties. It's going to read from the server.xml files, where you have your connector type information, timeout options, and everything. Slide number 25, you will see, like, you know, once the node agent process launches the application server, you will see, you know, the entries like this, basically the launch to process the PID number 7108, and then it completes, and then once the application server is initialized completely, it will send the message back to the node agent, and then node agent will respond back to the deployment manager with the status of application server. Then you will see the status of application server in the manager console. Sometimes you will see the problems where, like, you know, even though your server is up and running, in the DManager console you may not be seeing the right status. In the DManager console, even though it is up and running, you will see problems, like you will see the status like unavailable. In that case, most of the time the problem could be with the discovery between DManager and the node agent process. So the discovery might be working fine from DManager to the node agent. DManager is able to discover node agent, is able to send a message to the node agent, and then node agent is starting the server successfully. But when it comes in, when the node agent is trying to respond back to the DManager, if there is a problem, the node agent process is unable to discover the DManager, it may not be able to send the message back to the DManager. In that case, you will see the problem with the inconsistency of the application server status in the admin console. Slide number 26. I'm going to talk more about this monitoring policy. By default, like I said in the previous slides, you can have your the node agent process to monitor your application server processes, especially like if you are running in a production, and if when you have the production application running, if your application server goes down for some reason, like for maybe crashing or is not responding for some reason, you need to have some kind of the process who can monitor those app server processes and make sure always your servers are back up and running if there is a problem. So you can configure these settings on the application server so that the node agent process monitors them. If your app server is not responding or if it crashes, the node agent will make sure stopping and restarting that application server. But all these monitoring policy settings are stored on the application server level configuration. Like if you look into the server.xml file, you're going to see all the monitoring policy settings for that application server. You will see like four different types of the monitoring policy settings for each and every application server: the ping interval, ping timeout, automatic restart, node restart state. The ping interval is like when you have app server and node agent up and running, by default ping interval is 60 seconds. For every 60 seconds, node agent will send a ping mechanism, ping signal to the app server and then waits for 5 minutes time, 300 seconds. If there is a response back from the app server to the node agent within 300 seconds, yeah, then it will mark the app server as, it's up and running, it will update the routing table. If there is no response back from the app server within 300 seconds time, it's going to, basically, node agent assumes that, okay, there is a problem with the app server, let's stop the application server and restart. Let's bring the app server back into the business. Automatic restart, it is by default enabled. What it does is, if by default it is enabled, if there is a problem with your app server, based on this setting, the node agent will restart your app server automatically. If it is unchecked, the node agent is not going to monitor your app server. It's not going to restart your app server if there is a problem. The last one is node restart state. What it does is, when you start the node agent, by default, the flag is stopped, which means whenever you start the node agent, it's not going to start all the application server which are running on that particular node. So if you set to running always whenever you start the node agent, it's going to start all the application server which are running on that particular app server node. So basically, this node agent monitoring policy, whenever you start the node agent process, it's going to read monitoring policy settings for each and every application server. So if you have multiple application server, it's going to read monitoring policy settings for all the application server. And if it's set to running, it's going to start that application server. If it's set to stop, it's not going to start that application server. And also during the runtime, based on the setting automatic restart, if it is checked in, if there is a problem with the app server, it's going to restart that particular application server. The problem could be with the application server maybe not responding for some reason, maybe some application code issue, or maybe could be something else. And also, if the app server is crashing, in that case also, node agent restarts that application server. Moving on to slide number 29, you will see all these monitoring policy settings in the server.xml file. The location, by default, the location would be your the profile install root, your config cells and your cell name, nodes and your node name, servers and your server name, and then you will see server.xml. The XML tab starts with monitoring policy, where you will see all the settings for monitoring policy settings for that application server. Here I have the example in the slide number 30. When you turn on the trace, management trace, you will see all these entries in the node agent trace.log file. Here you will see when you start the node agent process, it is reading monitoring policy setting for my server 1. But default 60 seconds, ping timeout is 180 seconds, node restart state 1, which means running. So here you will see the entries, it is trying to launch server because node restart state is 1, which means running. The node agent process launches the server 1 based on this setting, and then the app server process initializes. And here you will see the entries, the application server started, and then you will see the process ID. In the next slide, 31, this is for the runtime. Basically, when you have the node agent and the app server are up and running, you will see entries like this. Basically, for every 60 seconds, you will see an entry when you turn on the trace, contact entry. Basically, it will send you query names. Basically, it's a JMX call. Node agent will send to the app server query names for that application server. So the app server receives the JMX call, and it will try to respond back to the node agent process. And here you will see the get attribute method. saying that started, and that response will go back to the node agent process. So based on these settings, based on these values, the node agent and the app server monitoring process takes place. If there is a problem with the app server, the node agent will take care of that. But if there is a problem with the node agent and the DB manager, since we don't have any other process in the WebSphere to monitor them, if you configure your OS to monitor them, so the operating system will restart them automatically. But even if the node agent and the DB manager are shut down, your application servers will continue to work fine. There shouldn't be any problem to have your application servers to be up and running. Yeah, in the slide 32, you will see like the entries. Once the server is responded back to the node agent, you will see all these entries in the node agent trace.log file. Like, for example, especially during the runtime, so you will see all these entries. The node agent is trying to ping app server, and if there is no response back from the app server to the node agent assumes that, okay, the server is unreachable, and let's go ahead and stop and restart. If it's a hang, it will kill that process ID and then restart the server. If it's a crash, there is no quit, so it will just start the application server. Based on the response the node agent received from the application server for its ping mechanism. And also you might see a lot of problems, especially in this area, while starting and stopping the application server, either from using the command line scripting tools or from the console. So what you will have to do is look into the log files, system mode. If you don't have the tracing on, just look into the system mode at log file and figure out if there are any errors. If there are any errors, you can take that error message, you can do some preliminary investigation. I would say, you might see problems with the server startup and stop issues. I mean, due to number of various reasons. Even, when you start the application server, it will try to start each and every application which is running on that application server. If there is a problem with your application which is running on the app server, if the application is not responding or if it's hanging for some reason, even the app server process will not respond. So which means the app server process gets into the hung status. So in that cases, when you look into the system mode, you might see the entries. Only the last entry is something belonging to your application. So even while starting the server, you will see the WebSphere initialize all its components, and then while trying to start the enterprise applications, it's not going anywhere. The last entries you will see, something will be pointing to your application or some vendor application or maybe WebSphere sample application. In that case, you can disable, at least to start your server, you can disable that enterprise application startup from the server startup so that the WebSphere will not attempt starting that particular enterprise application, so that at least you can have your server back into the business and then you can investigate the problem with the application. There is a setting available from the console for that enterprise application. When you click on the application, enterprise applications, once you click on application, you will see there is a flag, I think there is a checkbox, startup type. If you uncheck that, the WebSphere is not going to attempt to start that particular enterprise application. If server starts fine, so at least we can tell that, there is a problem with your application or with my application or maybe WebSphere application. So let's say if you have your application maybe in the back end trying to do something with the database, or if there is a problem during the communication of your application to the database, if it's not configured correctly or if it's not written correctly, you will see your application, enterprise application, gets into the hung status. So in those kind of situations, this is something you could do, you can disable this enterprise application startup during the server startup issue. So far we have discussed about, the few examples, various places where you see the problems with the starting the server, stopping the server, how this monitoring policy takes place, how we can monitor WebSphere processes, either from the operating system level or within the WebSphere application server level, and also several options that we have to start the application server or stop the application server in a WebSphere application server environment. there is not much difference between WebSphere 6.4 and 6.1. It's pretty much similar, and the same scripting tools and the same commands and the same it is the same flow of the code. So there is not much difference between these two versions. Only the JDK build is the difference. Now we are into the summary phase. Like I said, we have gone through the monitoring policy settings and several ways of starting the servers and the few examples, you know, of the start server. With that, I'm concluding my presentation today.
Thank you, Vikram, for a great presentation. At this point, Sarah, we would like to open the line for questions.
And our first question will come from Bill McCormick.
Hi. I'm new to WebSphere network deployment. We've just really got it installed in a test environment, and I'm really at the stage where I need to start building the script to get the environment started. It's on AIX. Currently, we start the manager and node agent from the command line, but then I use the console because we have a cluster defined to go in and start the cluster.
Right.
And I'm wondering what the equivalent command line action is to accomplish that.
All right. So, I mean, it's basically, would you want to have start these application server processes or the node agent and the D manager? Basically, like I said, you can monitor, you can set the monitoring policy, the node restart status to the running on the app server level. When you do that, as soon as you start the node agent process, node agent is going to start the application server automatically. You don't have to start the application server from the console or using the start server script.
Okay. What I guess I wasn't clear is what that action of starting a cluster instead of going directly to starting each application server in the cluster,
yeah,
what that does, and if that's an action that has to be performed from the command line.
That is correct. The other way would be, like, you know, if you don't want to start the cluster from the administrative console, the other way would be you will have to write the WSAdmin Jaka script or Jython script so that when you execute those commands, you can write, you know, you can call those .jaka script or Jython script from your shell script where you can specify Jaka command to start the entire cluster. So all you have to do is basically, we have the examples available in the info center how you can, you know, what kind of Jaka command or Jython command you can use to start the entire cluster.
Right, and I can get that actually from the console with where it gives you
right.
the command.
Command line assistant, right. So you can use, the other option would be, you know, using those commands and you can put them into a .jaka script or Jython script, and you can call that Jython file or Jaka file from your Unix shell script so that, you know, once you run that shell script, it's going to start all the servers.
Okay, and that's one of the things I was trying to understand. That mechanism is essential, meaning that there is a distinction between starting the cluster and just starting the two members, app server members of that cluster.
Correct. Yeah, that is correct. But we do have the command available to start the entire cluster
right.
from the WSAdmin.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Kishore Katha.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Kishore.
Can you please let me know the utility what you use to take Java course on Windows? You said there is a utility to take Java course, right?
Right. Basically, in the Windows operating system, so since we don't have the kill commands,
mm-hmm.
there are two options. One is from the OS level. Like, you know, there is a utility called Dr. Watson on the OS level. So when you configure that Dr. Watson, if, you know, the server process goes down or crashes, that will generate a user.dump files automatically. It's a voice setting. It's basically, it's a operating system level setting. So when you configure the Dr. Watson utility on your operating system, that will generate user.dump file.
Okay.
But if your app server process, let's say your app server process is, if you take Network Deployment Manager,
mm-hmm.
if your app server process is hanging for some reason, if you want to capture Java core files for that application server,
mm-hmm.
you can use this WSAdmin scripting tool. You can connect to the deployment manager,
mm-hmm.
and we have the command available to generate the Java core on the application server.
Okay.
So you can connect to the deployment manager using WSAdmin scripting tool. You can execute the, I think there are two commands available. We just need to get the ID and then run the Java thread dump command. That will produce the Java core. if you are unable to produce the Java core file using this WSAdmin, the scripting tool, the only other option would be on the OS level setting by using Dr. Watson utility.
So is that a utility from some other third party or is it?
No, it's just it comes with the Windows. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Chris Bartower.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. When you were talking about troubleshooting the application server startup sequence,
uh-huh.
You mentioned that at some point, you know, one of our applications could be the problem and that there was a way to prevent our applications from being started automatically as
that
the server starts. How do you do that exactly?
All right. Are you talking about network deployment environment or the just base installation?
Network deployment.
So you can do that from the D manager console. Like if you log into the console, and if, when you click on Applications tab, Enterprise Applications, and once you click on your application under the Additional Properties section, so when you click on that module, you will see startup types. Startup type, I believe that the flag is startup type. If you look into the configuration folder for that application, you will see a file name called deployment.xml file where you will see all your deployment information, where your application is expanded, and what kind of modules you have. So in the beginning of the deployment.xml file, you will see a flag, enable. The flag name is enable. By default, it is true. If you make it false and save that file, then the web server will not attempt to start that particular application.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
We are from Sudhir Rajeshna.
Hey, Vikram. I have a question with regard to the Start Server Launcher.
Uh-huh.
You said that if Start Server Launcher itself is having an issue, then it won't record that information anywhere, and you need to use the launch script, right?
Right.
So assuming you haven't created the launch script before, and can you use that command, start server, server1, dash script, launch server1, will it still create the script?
It's supposed to work. Unless, you know, like I said, when you run any script in the WebSphere, start server or stop server, mm-hmm. if there is a problem with your Java itself, then no command is going to work in the WebSphere.
Okay.
So if there is no problem with the Java, only the problem is with the start server launcher hanging, mm-hmm. then you should be able to use that start server with the dash script parameter. That should work.
And the script is going to get created, right?
Right. The script is going to get created for that application server.
Okay. That's my... Thank you very much for your...
Sure. Thank you.
Our next question will come from Raj. Isa Raj?
Hi, Vikram.
Hi.
Yeah, I've been seeing some group chats on FFDC logs. So do they help in the server-side debugging, or is it something purely in application-related stuff?
Right.
FFDC logs?
Right. So basically this FFDC log, it's basically you want to control them or you don't want to see the entries in the FFDC?
That's one of the other users wanted to control that, but my idea is, like, what is exactly the use of FFDC with respect to server debugging?
Yeah, I would say, like, you know, basically it's called like a first failure data
mm-hmm.
occurrence. So basically whenever there is even very small, even very minor, even if it's not a real error, still we log the information into the FFDC. But we normally say, like, you know, you don't need to worry about, even if you see some entries into the FFDC, that may not be the, you know, real or the problem in your server or on the application level. We normally say, like, you know, it is for the support, IBM support folks, not for the administrator. That is what I would say. Mm-hmm. Because always you see, even your server is up and running fine, your applications are working fine, you will see some entries. They may not be the real problems.
I see, okay.
Yeah, because even if you take one scenario, like, you know, for example, the node agent is unable to discover node or the D manager process for some reason, just for that particular couple of seconds, you will see the entry. But mm-hmm. it will try one more time and it may get successful.
Oh, okay.
So in that case, it's not the problem.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, that answers my question. And a very quick question on the command line assistance in the admin consoles.
Right.
I think that it's not completely, it doesn't give all the commands whatever we do in the admin console. Am I right?
Yeah, that is correct. In the WebSphere 6.1, it was a kind of tech preview.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have, you know, we are not generating that equivalent JSON commands for every operation we do in the console.
Oh, okay. So
are you working with WebSphere 7.0? Do you have 7.0?
No, we are in 6.1 actually. So that was very useful, but most of the time, the very intricate operations, we don't have the command and assistance. So that was
Yeah, it was a kind of tech preview in 6.1, but you do have a lot of enhancements in 7.0.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fine. Thanks, Vikram.
Sure. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Our next question will come from Jürgen Petteri.
Yep. Hi, Vikram.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I have a question. I forgot to take that the argument. You said the slide number 22, the handshake exceptions when you...
Right.
Can I get that
argument? Yeah, it's a generic JVM argument. It starts with the minus D, Java X, dot net, dot debug, equals true.
Okay.
So you will have to specify that in the start server dot sh file.
Okay.
So if you specify that, that's going to write all the logging information into the command prompt. You may have to pipe that information into your file.
So it goes to be start server log?
No, it won't go into the start server. It will just write into the command prompt itself.
Okay.
So you can pipe that, the output into the file, maybe some text file.
But I have to give this parameter in the JVM level.
Not at the JVM level. If you are seeing the SSL handshake on the start server log file.
Okay.
You will have to specify in the inside start server.ss file.
Got you. Okay.
Right. So when you edit start server.ss file, you will see Java executable command.
Okay.
So where you can specify this. You have some examples there by default specified with the minus D parameter.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just append this minus D parameter also after one of the parameter.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. That's what I want to.
All right. Thank you.
Our next question will come from Parag Gada.
Hi, Vikram.
Hi, how are you?
I do not have a specific question, but since we were, talking about, I just want to talk about a previous question, which was regarding the enterprise applications, disabling them from starting up in WebSphere 6.1.
Right.
Just want to, show in case the person is still there on the line. It's the checkbox is it's not a checkbox, but when you click on the enterprise application, you have to then click on target specific application status.
All right. Yeah.
Two buttons. One is like enable auto start and disable auto start. So I think by default. And this is my guess, that by default it's enabled, but we can always disable it from there.
Right, by default it is enabled, and we need to disable this.
But it's different in all the three versions of WebSphere which I am using, so it's a little confusing.
Right, even I was in the same impression, I was looking at 6.0, it was the same setting as 5.1, 6.1 it is different, right? But looking into the XML file, deployment.xml file, where we store this information, the flag is the same. There is no change in the XML file, but only in the user interface of this console is different. The setting is different.
Right. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
And we have no further questions from over the phone.
Thank you, Sarah. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.